Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Thursday, August 3rd, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. We've got a really powerful interview coming up for you here with a couple in Missouri whose children, four children, were kidnapped by health authorities of the state of Missouri because they were using chlorine dioxide at very low doses, safe, effective, widely used. I use it myself. They were using chlorine dioxide to help their autistic child, and they were seeing remarkable results. And a local doctor found out about this and did not like it. And this doctor contacted the health authorities, Child Protective Services, and said, you should go in there. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but said, you should go in there and do something about this. So the state went in and kidnapped all the children. And now these parents are fighting to regain custody of their children and to save those children from the medical violence of the state, which is dosing them with psychiatric drugs. So that's just one of the horrors taking place in the name of Western medicine in our country right now. And all of these efforts to essentially criminalize people who use natural remedies that are safe and effective. And no, chlorine dioxide is not bleach, by the way. That's the media likes to lie about that and say, oh, they're drinking bleach. No, it's not bleach. They just lie. That's just like them saying that Trump was a puppet for Russia. It's just a lie. And they just think that there are a lot of gullible people who believe the lies. And there are. They're called Democrats, by the way. But we're going to have that interview coming up for you today. And it's very shocking. Now, I've got an idea to share with you here about how to get both Donald Trump and RFK Jr. into the White House and to achieve some really important goals in dismantling the deep state and freeing the J6 prisoners and much more. Here's my idea. I don't know that anybody else has proposed this, so I'm just going to put it out there. And by the way, I don't have any secret inside information or anything. Nobody told me this. This is just my own idea. And here it is. So it looks like RFK Jr. obviously is the best candidate on the Democrat side of things. But, of course, the Democrat Party being a bunch of crooks and thieves and fraudsters and liars, they're going to make sure that he does not get the nomination. At least it seems that way. Now, Kennedy's got a lot of support, so I don't want to detract from that at all. And, frankly, the more support he gets, the more he may force the hands of the DNC to hold debates. And if there's ever a debate between RFK Jr. and Joe Biden, then of course Biden is just destroyed. I mean, Biden would be destroyed, not taken away from RFK, but a scarecrow debating Joe Biden would destroy Joe Biden. Is that bad? And RFK, being a man with an extraordinary mind and courage and heart, he would more than destroy Joe Biden. So of course the Democrats can't have that happen. So should we end up in a situation where RFK Jr. does not get the nomination for the Democrat Party, then here's what I propose. That Trump extends his hand and reaches out and says the following. Now, this is going to be tough for Trump to swallow, because Trump is going to have to set aside the Trump ego on this. It's a lot to ask, I know. But Trump's going to have to say, hey, RFK Jr., how would you like to be my vice president candidate? Join me on a bipartisan ticket. We'll win in a landslide. And then I, Donald J. Trump, I promise you, like this would have to be a secret agreement or something, I guess. I promise you I will resign within 1 year after being sworn in as president. And now, why would Trump do that? Oh, and of course, that would make RFK Jr. the president with 3 years remaining in his term, during which he could kick ass. And Trump would also be able to kick ass more in the first term. You know why? Because in his own mind, he knows he's leaving. And so Trump could do all kinds of things, like pardon all the J6 political prisoners, for example. Trump could sign all kinds of executive orders to dismantle the deep state, being the executive commander. You know, the boss of the executive branch of the federal government, you realize that Trump could fire every person in the DOJ. He could fire every person in the FBI, in the NIH, in the FDA. And frankly, RFK would have a long list of suggestions for Trump of which agencies to tear down, you know? I would vote for ATF on top of that, right? It's a lot of agencies that are up to no good, most of them. I mean, even the USDA is mostly partnered with the pesticide companies, and the FDA is just a puppet of Big Pharma. So Trump could just dismantle those agencies via executive orders. He could fire them all. And he could pardon the people that he wants to pardon. He could do a lot, and then he could bow out, resign for whatever reasons, turn it over to RFK, and then RFK be president for at least 3 more years and would probably win re-election too. I mean, I guess that's looking pretty far down the road. We'd have to see what happens. But this might entice RFK Jr. to join the Trump ticket, which he has said he would not do, by the way. He said under no circumstances would he be Trump's vice president candidate. And I understand that. I understand. But circumstances can change, and this might be a possibility. But could this entice RFK if he knew he were going to be president in a year and not just serve as vice president? That he would have the executive power to start, you know, tearing down the censorship industrial complex in Washington, D.C., and ripping to shreds the NIH and you know, the National Science Foundation and all the COVID scams that were run by the federal government, it might be very compelling. Now, understand that for either Trump or Kennedy to get into the White House, there's going to have to be an overwhelming wave of voters coming out to override the cheating on the part of the Democrats. The Democrats are going to cheat, of course, if we even make it to the election, and I'm not even sure about that. But if we do, they're going to cheat like crazy. Of course they are. That's the only way they ever win, is by cheating, it seems. So they're going to cheat big time, which means that if Trump hopes to win, Trump's going to have an edge that will get him a lot of independent-minded voters. What would that ace card be? Oh, RFK Jr. RFK Jr. would be perfect. He would bring over a lot of independent voters and also, by the way, a lot of Trump supporters that are not too happy with Trump's vaccine position. They would understand that Trump partnering with RFK would mean that Trump understands that vaccines, these COVID vaccines, are killing people. Now, RFK would have to also eat some humble pie, I guess, and go in and agree to be Trump's vice president candidate. Probably Cheryl Hines would divorce him because she's more of a lefty, as I understand it. And she's not too happy with probably all the controversy and everything. And it might literally destroy his marriage. That can be super tough on any couple to be put in that kind of situation. But nobody said that saving America wouldn't require sacrifices. And when a person is willing to sacrifice their health, even their lives, their marriage, their business, that's what Trump sacrificed by even running for president. He gave up the future potential of the Trump business empire. You know, he walked away from billions of dollars in profits by becoming president, knowing the deep state would attack him and disparage him and destroy the Trump brand. But Trump knew that saving America was more important than saving the Trump brand. And so he stepped up in 2016 and he did the unthinkable. He beat the Democrat cheating machine, didn't he? And he sent Hillary Clinton packing, which was one of the greatest moments in American history. So that's my proposal. Neither man is going to like it. You may not like it. Nobody's going to be totally happy with it. But this kind of partnership between Trump and RFK could be exactly what is needed to destroy the Democrats' cheating machine and actually win an election on behalf of we the people, regardless of party. You know how many Democrats would vote for Trump if RFK were the VP? A lot. And Trump wouldn't lose any Republicans under that circumstance. But now, of course, RFK might say, well, no, let's do it the other way around. I'm going to be president and Trump can be my vice president, something like that. Well, I don't think Trump would go for that. And also, the advantage of the way that I'm suggesting that Trump is president first is that Trump can do all the pardons, even very controversial pardons, including potentially pardoning, you know, himself from these insane, twisted prosecutions that are just political persecutions. Trump could do all the controversial pardons and then step to the side, and then Kennedy could step in and say, well, I didn't pardon those people. Trump did, and he's no longer president. So you see, it's done. And then Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I think, would make a great president, by the way. And I think he would help get us out of these global wars, as would Trump. I think that RFK would end the biological weapons development programs. I know he would. I think RFK understands the importance of cryptocurrency and honest money and the dangers of the Federal Reserve and fiat currency counterfeiting that keeps going on. And Trump understands that too. I just think that RFK has, frankly, more of a grasp of the issues of vaccines, science, medicine, and also pollution. RFK knows all about heavy metals and mercury toxicity. An area where I have a lot of expertise is, you know, heavy metals, food science, pesticides, and things like that. Trump has never struck me as someone who is well-informed in those areas. Not that he doesn't mean well, it's just not his background. You know, his background is business. He's great at business. He's great at geopolitics. He's great at negotiating with world leaders. But RFK adds to that all of this knowledge about real pollution. And I think he's getting educated on the scam of the climate change lunacy, you know, the climate cult, which is trying to say that photosynthesis is bad and carbon dioxide is a poison, you know. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doesn't believe in that. He's no fan of coal, that's for sure. He doesn't want to see more coal burned in America, but he's also a realist and a practical person. He's not going to shut down the economy to appease a bunch of climate cultist virtue signalers. So I'd be happy with either one of those individuals in the White House, frankly, and I'd be super thrilled with both of them. So, hey, share this if you think it's a decent idea. Or if you don't, put your comments beneath this video on Brighteon.com and tell me why. Maybe you have a better idea. Or better yet, post your own video on Brighteon.com or other platforms and propose what you think is going to work better. One way or another, as Trump said, in order to save America, we've got to defeat the deep state. And that's why the deep state is at war with both RFK Jr. and Donald J. Trump, as well as we the people, come to think of it. All right, so those are my thoughts on the subject. Now for the main story today. Intense pressure is being placed on fake President Joe Biden to declare a climate emergency. And you see articles about this in mainstream media publications like The Guardian, where an article headline now reads, Joe Biden must declare a climate emergency, and he must do so now. You know, because all the other predictions of the world ending from Al Gore and other climate cultists. Yeah, sure, they all came true, didn't they? No, none of them came true. But now, this one, it's truly an emergency now. So a climate emergency, what you've got to understand is that this is the end run to achieve a dictatorship in the United States. This would be far worse than any COVID emergency. And a climate emergency, by the way, requires no evidence. All it requires is media panic, which, frankly, was what COVID was largely built on as well. But you don't even have to have actual evidence of oceans rising, because they're not. You don't even have to have actual evidence of average temperatures getting hotter across the world, because they're not, or just barely. You know, every time the weather turns hot, the media goes insane. It's global warming. Now they call it global boiling. We're all boiling. No, we're not. This happened in 1939, I think, there was a heat wave like this. And then when there's cold weather in the winter, they never say, that's global warming. It's just when it's hot, they say, see, it's warming. That's not the way average temperatures work, actually. So they don't need any actual evidence, and they can declare, and this is important, a perpetual emergency. And with this perpetual emergency, the executive branch of the federal government can take over everything that matters in your life. Biden can take over food production and distribution. He can take over energy production and distribution, including controlling the electricity that goes into your home and controlling your ability to purchase gasoline or diesel. He can control your ability to purchase appliances. They could ban hot water heaters or cripple them, which is also already happening. They could ban gas stoves. Oh, wait, that's already happening in New York. They could ban combustion engine vehicles. Oh, wait, that's already been announced in California and other states. The bottom line is, under a climate emergency, they could control the means of production, which sounds familiar if you understand the definition of communism. It's when the government controls the means of production and distribution, and you have a centrally planned economy. That is what a climate emergency would usher in. And that's why leftists want a climate emergency, because it's communism, disguised as a Save the Planet initiative. That's all it is. But here's something else. Under a climate emergency, they could also call for climate lockdowns. Oh, you're not allowed to travel. You might kill the planet if you travel, if you drive to the grocery store. You might kill the planet. You're not allowed to leave your home. It's a climate emergency. And as we've also seen in some cases, left-wing journalists praising power grid outages, blackouts, and actually saying that, hey, maybe we need more blackouts. There was a story about this, I think it was in the LA Times last week, said we need more blackouts in order to help the climate. So under a climate emergency, Joe Biden and the fascist Democrats could just have a schedule of rolling blackouts across America to say, well, you only get electricity in your town Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You know, kind of like they do with watering schedules in California when there's a drought. You can only water your lawn, you know, 2 days a week or 1 day a week or whatever. Maybe they're going to say soon, and this is quite possible, you only get electricity 3 days a week. Or you only get electricity from, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then somebody else gets it from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So you it's half. You get half the 24 hours of electricity. That's it. Oh, you don't think that could happen? Well, you don't understand how dangerous these fascists are, these communists. This is what they want. They literally believe that human activity is what's destroying the planet. And therefore, they believe that the only way to save the planet is to halt human activity. In other words, they have to halt food production. They have to halt farming. They have to halt energy production, energy distribution, transportation, both personal and commercial. They have to halt economic activity, essentially, in order to appease themselves and their delusions in thinking that human activity is going to destroy the planet. And so let me read you a little bit from this article by Peter Kalmus. This is the climate crisis article in The Guardian, which was published July 27th. He says the following: we've passed into a ferocious new phase of global heating with much worse to come. Oh, really? Biden must declare a climate emergency, he says. I'm terrified by what's being done to our planet. Yeah, of course he's terrified, because the media is running a psychological terrorism campaign. And this guy is obviously, he's a victim of it. He doesn't know how to protect his psyche. He says, I'm fighting to stop it. You too should be afraid, while also taking the strongest action you can take. There's never been a summer like this in recorded history. Yeah, there has, actually. It's just another hot summer. Shocking ocean heat, deadly land heat. Like, he's imagining he's never been heat on land before? Like, does he know about deserts? Unprecedented fires and smoke. Yeah, fires set by leftists who are committing arson in order to try to say that climate change is setting fires. I mean, how many of these arsonists have been caught? They're all radical leftists. Sea ice melting faster than we've ever seen or thought possible, he said. Not true. Just not even true. The ice mass is actually trending higher. And by the way, what's wrong with having more liquid water and less ice? By the way, you can't grow plants in ice. You can't have fish swimming in ice. Liquid water is actually more hospitable to life. So I don't know why these leftists are afraid of ice melting. It's just, okay. He says, quote, "I've dreaded this depth of Earth breakdown for almost 2 decades. And like many of my colleagues, I've been trying to warn you, now it's here. And mark my words, it's all still just getting started." Has he been talking a little bit of Thunderpants? What's her name? Thunberg? Thunderpants and Al Gore? He says that he will be proven right, too, with a certainty as non-negotiable and merciless as the physics behind fossil-fueled global heating. So he's saying that carbon dioxide is bad. He doesn't know anything about photosynthesis, obviously. Carbon dioxide is necessary for food, for rainforests, for plants, for fields of green. He continues, "Instead, I only feel fury at those in power and bottomless grief for all that I love." What, all your vaccinated friends who are dying? Is that who you feel grief for? The spike protein chums of yours? Yeah. "We are losing Earth on our watch," he says. "We're losing the Earth." See, this is what they think. "The Amazon rainforest may already be past its tipping point. Coral reefs, as we know them, will be gone from our planet by mid-century," he warns. Does he know anything about actual pollution? You know what's killing the oceans? Is pharmaceutical runoff, pesticide runoff, fertilizer runoff, atrazine, gender bender chemicals in the water systems, things like that. And also, of course, global dimming, you know, blocking the sun, which is killing the ecosystems of the ocean as well. Anyway, he says, "These are cosmic losses, and as a father, I grieve for my children." He should have inserted vaccinated children, of course. How can you grieve for vaccinated children who you vaccinated with a suicide vaccine and then think that, oh, you got to save the planet for your children? I'm assuming his children are vaccinated because he's obviously an obedience idiot. He says fossil fuels are causing this damage. And he goes on to say that basically you just got to shut down fossil fuels. The only way out, he says, is to end fossil fuels. Now, you know, right now, he says in the headline. Biden's refusal to declare a climate emergency and his eagerness to push new pipelines and new drilling. What? What is this? What planet is this guy living on? Biden has canceled the pipelines, canceled the drilling, canceled the exploration. He's been doing that since his first day in office. Oh, my goodness. He says all that goes against life on Earth. But he says he's speaking as a scientist, which I find hard to believe. Speaking as a science quack, maybe, who doesn't understand atmospheric chemistry, obviously. He says, "I have no doubt that fossil fuel executives and lobbyists will in the future be considered criminals because the stakes could not be higher," he says. So he goes on and he talks about you don't even need to use Congress. You can bypass Congress, that Biden could just declare a climate emergency and you just start banning all the oil projects. I'm paraphrasing now. And he says that with emergency powers, you don't need the will of the people reflected via Congress. You can just do what you want and shut this down. Well, we already saw that, by the way, with COVID, didn't we? We saw the federal government declaring an emergency and then abusing its power to murder people. Which, again, I have no doubt that this author probably supported all that, too. Vaccine mandates, lockdowns, mask mandates, keeping kids home from school, causing the retardation of the neurodevelopmental pathways and milestones of children. Yeah, that was all done in the name of science also, wasn't it? Now, how many millions of people around the planet are dead because of the vaccines? How many are maimed? How many are gone from the workforce in the United States alone? Millions because of vaccine damage. And yet we were told that the government knows best and the scientists know best. And we're doing this for your own good. And you have to be locked down and you have to be behind plexiglass and you have to stand with your feet in these little footprints at the checkout counter. so stupid. And these same people that got it all wrong on COVID and who have gotten it all wrong on the climate for decades, now they're telling us, oh, they have it figured out and now they need to bypass democracy and just order a climate emergency and climate lockdowns and the end of fossil fuels. How are people supposed to get to work? How are factories supposed to run? How's the power grid supposed to function in America? You know, the recent power grid emergency in the Northeast, where everybody was turning on their air conditioning, which, of course, leftists hate that too. You know what saved the grid from collapse? It was fossil fuels. They had all the solar and wind all maxed out. They needed to add fossil fuel capacity in order to keep the grid going. Otherwise, they would have turned to rolling blackouts, which I'm sure leftists would have loved. They love to destroy civilization. They think that the only way to save the planet is to demolish modern civilization, have everybody living in mud huts. Seriously, that's what they want. Now, this author, by the way, doesn't acknowledge the truth about geoengineering. Because, as Dane Wigington explains, and I've interviewed him several times, there is damage being deliberately done to the atmosphere and weather systems. There are deliberate droughts and floods and severe weather events. But they're not the result of, quote, climate change. They're the result of weaponization of weather systems and control over where moisture goes in the atmosphere and then where it drops or where it doesn't drop. These control systems are very real, you know, dozens of patents. And weather is being aggressively weaponized. You know, floods in China again. I wonder who caused that. Oh, the United States, yeah. The United States, by the way, is at war with everybody, including the people of the United States. You know, the U.S. government under Biden is trying to destroy Russia, trying to starve to death China, and then trying to enslave and suppress the American people. They're at war with everybody. And weather weaponization is just one of those things. Why do you think 100-plus food facilities have been burned down or blown up in America over the last, what, 2 years or so? Because there are sabotage crews that are run by the deep state that run around America blowing up food plants or setting them on fire. I mean, I even asked Michael Yon this question. He's trained in special forces. He's trained in sabotage when he was in the military. And he told me specifically on air, this wasn't a secret conversation. He said, you know, what we learned in the special forces is that you should always just burn down something if you can, because it's way easier than blowing it up. He said, lots of things burn. And if you burn something down, you don't leave behind traces of explosives that, you know, would raise a lot of red flags. So he says that the simplest thing for special forces to do when they're dropped into an area and their job is to cripple the infrastructure is just run around setting everything on fire. Basically, military arsonists. That's exactly what's going on across America with the food facilities. And also, have you noticed how many fires and explosions have shut down refineries over the last 3 years and natural gas export hubs? Some refineries have been permanently shuttered, one in Philadelphia in the last couple years because of a fire outbreak. Have you noticed how many industrial plants have caught on fire or blown up? Yeah, these aren't just accidents. This is sabotage. It's sabotage by the deep state that's trying to bring down modern civilization in order to cripple human activity so that they can, quote, save the planet, or essentially they just want, you know, climate fascism, to where everybody's starving and everybody's desperate. And under those circumstances, they can then force people into CBDCs and food rationing and universal basic income and whatever else, or FEMA camps even, for that matter. But they've got to have a big enough emergency to make it happen. That's why they're tearing down the infrastructure. That's why they're using weather weapons to cause crop failures. This is all happening in concert, all on purpose. Now, during a climate emergency, of course, central authorities can seize control over your home air conditioning or the charging of your electric vehicle, by the way. Did you know that? There's a story from last year, August 31st of 2022. And the story says thousands of Xcel customers locked out of their thermostats during energy emergency. This is from the DenverChannel.com. Temperatures climbed into the 90s Tuesday, and it says Tony Talarico tried to crank up the air conditioning in his partner's home. He said it was hot. That's when he saw the message on the thermostat stating that the temperature was locked out due to a, quote, energy emergency. And he said, normally we can override that message, but in this case we couldn't. So our thermostat was locked in at 78 or 79, which to me, that doesn't sound that bad. That's where I normally keep my thermostat. I don't cool any more than 78 or 79, by the way. That's just me. Excel confirmed to Denver 7 that 22,000 customers who had signed up for the Colorado AC Rewards Program were locked out of their, quote, smart thermostats for hours on Tuesday. So that's how smart your thermostat is that you get locked out of it. And customers, the company said customers signed up for this program. It's a voluntary program, they say. Yeah, in the fine print. But nobody was actually told, yeah, if you sign up for this program, you're going to save some money and we might shut off your air conditioning. But it's happening, right? One more reason to not have a smart thermostat. And then Bloomberg News reported the following. There's a new patent filed by Ford Motor Company that describes how Ford can remotely disable features of your car and can even shut off car charging if it's an EV. They can, for example, shut off your car's air conditioning. Ooh, more appliances under attack, right? If you've missed a car payment. But it could also happen in a climate emergency. Exactly. Climate emergency. So this is why I have a show called Decentralize TV. Because we've got to learn to live in a decentralized way. What Ford wants to do is have central control over your car, which Tesla has too, by the way. Tesla can remotely contact your car and shut it off. And that's what Ford wants to be able to do if you miss a loan payment, for example. You miss a payment, you get no air conditioning. You miss another payment, car doesn't even go anywhere. This is what they're all doing. They want central control. One more reason to not have an EV, by the way, because if you have a regular vehicle with a combustion engine and you can just store some gasoline or diesel and pop some of that diesel into the car, start it up, and you're good to go, if it's a diesel, obviously. And governments can't control that. That's one reason why governments hate combustion engine vehicles, because they can't remotely control them. But they can control the charging of electric vehicles. Because all the smart meters and the smart grid systems, they know when you're drawing current to charge a vehicle, because it's a very large current. You know, it's a lot of kilowatt hours being shoved into your car batteries. So they know when you're charging your car, they just turn it off. They can, in some cases, they can selectively turn it off, or your car manufacturer can turn it off. And what if the government just orders Tesla, for example? Oh, it's a climate emergency. Don't allow any charging of any Teslas. With one update, Tesla could just send out a command of like, no more charging of all Tesla vehicles. It's done. Wow. So if you own a Tesla vehicle, did you know you don't really own a car? You have a permission required vehicle where you're only allowed to use it as long as the company grants you permission from their remote servers. And to me, that's not ownership. That's begging for permission. John Deere was doing that with their tractors, which is why I stopped advocating John Deere tractors. Because John Deere would have all this software installed where you had to get, you know, updates in order to start your tractor. If you missed a payment, you couldn't start your tractor. You weren't allowed to do maintenance on your own tractor because John Deere said that violated their intellectual property. It's like, what? You can't repair your own tractor? No. And there was a major lawsuit over that. And I think John Deere lost that lawsuit, by the way, after several years. But John Deere got super greedy and super centralized. They wanted to control everybody. They wanted to micromanage everybody's tractors out there. It's like, you're not allowed to start unless we give you permission. Well, screw that, man. I'm not buying that tractor. I'll go out and buy a Kubota instead. You know, the Japanese company's not telling me I can't start my tractor. These people are nuts. The same thing with vehicles. I'm not buying some vehicle that's connected to some servers at somebody's headquarters and they have to give me permission to be able to run it or charge it or update the software. They're going to selectively turn off features if they don't like what I'm doing. Like, what? What's it going to come to? They're going to read my social media posts on Twitter, and then they're going to say, oh, we don't like what you said, or turn off the heated seats. What? Why is my butt cold? Oh, the pricks at Ford turned off the heated seats because they read my Twitter post talking about how Ford stands for found on road dead. No, those pricks. turn off the heater seats. And if you post enough crazy stuff, they'll disable the airbags, you know. Hope you get in an accident. Turn off the steering. Make the brakes not work, you know. Who knows what they could do. Ford could do anything. I mean, they built a pickup truck, the Lightning F-150, a pickup truck that doesn't even function as a truck because it's an electric vehicle, as you know. It doesn't even tow anything. It's like you built a make-believe imaginary truck. Like the F-150 Lightning is to trucks what Caitlyn Jenner is to women. You know, it's like, yeah, it's a make-believe woman. It's a make-believe truck, but it can't actually function as a real truck. And which, of course, brings up the obvious joke. What kind of junk is in your trunk? But we'll leave that be. Seriously, folks, this climate lockdown, climate emergency nonsense, Biden is being pushed hard by a bunch of Democrats. And again, doesn't require any evidence whatsoever, so they can declare it just merely off of illusion. And since the entire scientific community, it seems, or most of the scientific community, has already signed up for this delusion, as they've also signed up for transgenderism, delusional thinking, and wokeism, you know, the climate cult is just a bunch of delusional fairy tale pushers. But since they control the scientific establishments, and they control the science journals, and they control the White House, they might get exactly what they want. And so there could be a day real soon where you are arrested and charged as a criminal for driving your car to buy groceries because, oh, you're not allowed. It's a climate emergency day. And, oh, you don't have the QR tracker code on your phone? You're supposed to scan in at that intersection there. You got to scan in. You got to take a picture of the QR code or the drone will track you. Because they did that in China during COVID, by the way. I'm not making that up. So everywhere you go, you're going to have to scan in. And then, you know, they have the WorldCoin ID, so that they have your iris scan as well. It's not just that they're going to scan your mobile phone. They're going to scan your eyeballs. Track you everywhere you go. And then, of course, they will starve you to death and turn you into a slave and control your money and finance and all that stuff. This is how it happens. So we're just one climate emergency away from losing all of our rights and freedoms. And it could be just a declaration. So we need to push back against this insane nonsense of the climate cult. In fact, what's wrong with our world right now, you know, among the problems of corruption and election rigging and censorship, is geoengineering and, you know, atmospheric alterations and terraforming. They're dimming the sun. They're polluting the skies. They're sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere. They're trying to turn our planet into a cold, frozen, lifeless world, which is, as I've said before, part of a terraforming operation to prepare planet Earth for a post-human future. The governments of the world are committing genocide with the vaccines and the bioweapons. So when they pretend, like, oh, we're saving the planet, just remember, they're not saving it for humans. They're saving it from humans. Remember, they're at war with human activity. They've said it. I mean, how obvious does this have to get? I don't know how anybody doesn't see this yet. That the war on carbon is the war on humans because humans are made of carbon. And so are plants, and so are trees, and so are all the fish in the ocean. They're made of carbon, and it's a war on carbon. That's a war on life. A war on carbon includes carbon dioxide, which is the molecule of life for our planet. And again, it's a global terraforming operation. So the depopulation agenda is accelerating. The terraforming operation is accelerating. Engineered famine is accelerating. We're headed for a massive banking collapse, you know, global debt collapse, at least among Western nations. And we're possibly heading into World War III as well. So all of it is all by design. And these power-hungry fascist communist lunatics, they know that RFK Jr. wouldn't put up with this crap. They know that Donald Trump wouldn't put up with it, nor would Vivek Ramaswamy, by the way. Vivek's kicking butt, isn't he? I like what that guy is saying every day. He's a strong candidate, by the way. He's got a lot of energy, and he's a smart cookie. I like Vivek. Rhymes with cake. That's what his press spokesperson told me during an interview. Vivek rhymes with cake. And Ramaswamy, he's follow him on Twitter if you haven't already, if you're even on Twitter. Oh, let me remind you, by the way, don't forget to follow me on brighteon.social and also on Bastion, Bastyon, which is a peer-to-peer decentralized platform. And also follow me on Telegram at Real Health Ranger. That's my username there. And I'm pushing out, you know, interesting things throughout the day, notes, sometimes heads up, new things posted, observations, a few memes here and there as well. But I don't have time to be on Twitter all day because I'm actually doing interviews a lot and doing podcasts like this and running publishing operations and working in the lab sometimes. I mean, I'm working. I'm doing a lot of things. So you're not going to see me on Twitter all hours of the day. All right, now changing the subject a little bit here. Breitbart reported today that we've now had 48 consecutive months of over 1 million gun sales in America. And that's actually, those are just the sales that go through the instant criminal background check system, the NICS system by the FBI. And of course, a lot of sales don't go through the FBI system. Like when I go buy a rifle or a pistol or a shotgun or whatever, since I have a concealed carry, you know, I don't go through the background check system, right? And a lot of people, of course, buy guns without going through the background check system. I don't know what the estimates are of that number, but if there's 1 million people doing background checks, I'm just guessing, you know, and that's per month. I'm guessing that maybe there's, you know, 1.2 or 1.3 million guns actually being purchased each month in America. Now, think about it. This is a country of, what, 338 million people or something? And so you have, like, I don't know, one-third of 1% of the population are buying a new gun every month. And so, you know, in a year, you're going to have, you know, probably 12 to 15, maybe 16 million new firearms in America. This is a Second Amendment nation, obviously. And I think this is a great thing. And firearms are getting better and better. And manufacturers are, I mean, the advancements in firearms technology is just really amazing. For example, I didn't actually bring this up to mention this, but let me just pull this out. I have in my hands a Glock 43, a custom build from Shield Arms, which is one of our sponsors. And it's got a Holosun red dot sight, an optic on the pistol. And it's also got night, you know, glow-in-the-dark night sights that are that co-witness with the red dot sight. Now, here's what's interesting. I carried a Glock 19 for, I don't know, 15 years or something. And I always thought the Glock 19 was kind of like the perfect starter gun. Now I know that the Glock 43, or in the SIG world, the SIG Sauer, P365 XL, models like that, that are thinner, they're a little bit less than an inch wide, they're actually a better fit for most people's hands, including my own hands. Now that I'm used to firing this Glock 43, which I think, maybe it's the 43X, yeah, it's the 43X, I think this is actually the perfect sized handgun for myself anyway. And now that I'm used to firing this, the Glock 19 feels a little bit large and somewhat unwieldy, which I find kind of hilarious for me to say that myself, because I've shot Glocks 19s and 17s and so on for so many years. I was very familiar with those, but frankly, I can get a better grip and better control on a Glock 43X or a SIG P365 XL or what's the other one? Just the straight 365 or, you know, the thinner SIGs. But let me just give you a little bit about gun choice here. The thing I didn't like about the Glock 19 was that the magazines were polymer. And I had issues, because I was carrying all the time, I had issues with magazines falling out. Because the magazine retention indent in the magazine, in a polymer magazine, that can get worn out over time just by you walking around. So the Glock 43X has steel magazines, or at least this was what I got from Shield Arms. It's got these special Shield Arms mags, which are really amazing. By the way, shieldarms.com is where you can get these. And so it's a metal mag, and the retention is really solid. I'm playing with it here right now. And the thing I like about the Glocks is they have that extra trigger safety. So the firing pin cannot engage unless you pull on the trigger, because there's this extra little safety mechanism on the trigger itself. Whereas on a SIG, even though I am a big fan of SIGs, but on a SIG, there are cases with the P320s, especially, where they fire by themselves. And you know when Democrats say that guns kill people? In a few cases, that's true. The P320 has gone off by itself from time to time, including among law enforcement officers as they simply put it in the holster and start walking across the parking lot. I've seen videos of this. And then, kaboom, a round goes off. They weren't even handling the gun at that point. They were just walking, and a round goes off. It's because the P320s don't have that extra trigger safety mechanism. So since I carry firearms with a round in the chamber, and I don't want to accidentally have a gun, you know, shoot me, I've switched over now to the Glock 43X, which from Shield Arms. So it's just an extraordinary gun. I'm obliged to mention, again, I didn't bring this up to do this, but if you use discount code Ranger, I think you get a discount at Shield Arms. I know you get a discount on the rifles, the folding AR-15s. I don't know about the pistols, but you can try it. Anyway, the Red Dot Sight is a hollow sun. And personally, I'm not a big fan of Red Dot Sights on pistols. I am a fan of them on rifles. But I like the hollow sun brand. And it's a shake awake thing, so it just comes on when you move it. And the battery is easy to get to and replace and so on. And it's just, it's a really good configuration. So that's what I'm running right now. But I don't like optics on pistols for one very good reason. Because I wear a headlight. And when I'm at night on my ranch and I'm walking around, I have a light on my head. You know, I'm checking on animals or whatever, getting cows unstuck from barbed wire or whatever's going on. And if I have to pull out my pistol, the headlight on my head actually reflects off of the pistol-mounted optics and creates a glare. So that's why I don't like optics on my pistols. I prefer to have regular sights. But if you're not walking around with a headlight, then you might love the optics. Also, the optics are good for people who don't yet know how to shoot pistols. You know, they're not really experienced. All you got to do is kind of put that dot on the target and squeeze the trigger. And it's much easier than lining up iron sights for a lot of people, especially beginners. So, something to consider. Okay, one more thing in terms of firearms and self-defense gear, and then we're going to go into the interview today. I'm not yet prepared to name the brand because I'm in the tryout stage, but I found something really cool. And it's a leather holster that actually sandwiches a piece of polymer in between two pieces of leather. And what you can do is you can heat the holster by dropping it in some hot water protected by a plastic bag. You heat it up, and then you can mold that holster around your unloaded firearm. And so you can actually customize the holster to fit whatever gun you have. And you can, and then when it cools off, it retains that shape, but it's got all the benefits of leather. Now, something that has happened to me over the years, I tried a lot of different Kydex holsters and kind of hybrid holsters that had leather on the inside and Kydex on the outside. And, you know, in every single case, the Kydex components broke. Because, again, I'm armed all the time. I carry my gun with me everywhere I go. And so that's a lot of steps, you know, and I'm active on the ranch. So it's a lot of steps. And I could not find a Kydex, any kind of holster that had any Kydex, which is the hard polymer, that would not break. Sooner or later, they would all break. And I ended up using leather holsters because they're the only things that would hold up to, you know, the activity of the health ranger, right? But leather holsters are, you know, there's so many different configurations you can have. Like I might be running a SIG P365 or an XL or right now, you know, like a Glock 43X, or I might be running a Glock 19. I might have lights. I might try a different light. I might put an O light on it here, or like a TLR2 light or whatever. And then, of course, it's almost impossible to find a leather holster for the pistol and the light combination that you want to run. You can't find leather holsters for all these things. They don't exist. And so this company, whose name starts with, I'll give a hint. The name starts with 1791. 1791, okay? That's the beginning of the name of this company. I'm not endorsing them yet, but I'm trying their holsters. I've purchased like four of them, and I've molded some, and I've been wearing them. And so far, it's the best of both worlds. The leather is highly, highly durable, rugged stitching, and I've molded this with the hot water thing that I talked about, and it's fitting. I've done it with two pistols so far. It fits perfectly. And you can order these for pistols with lights or without lights, but again, when they come, they're kind of a generic shape, and then you got to heat them, and then you mold them around your pistol and around your light. And by the way, if you change your light on your pistol, no problem. You just reheat the holster and mold it around the new light on your pistol. It's reusable. It's reformable. This is the best idea in holsters that I've seen yet. That's why I'm kind of excited about it. It's like, because if you carry a gun every day like I do, and like I have done for, I don't know, 25 plus years or whatever, you go through a lot of holsters, and you learn what works and what doesn't work. And this is the best thing that I've seen in 25 years of carrying firearms. And the retention is really good. So anyway, what I will do, I'll bring you a more detailed review. I'll show you in the studio. I'll do a studio review on camera if it passes muster. I'm going to wear it another month or two, make sure I put some real miles on it, see if it falls apart or not. I doubt it. I think it'll be good. And then I'll show you that in the studio. But if you're looking for good leather holster with this super formable layer of polymer sandwiched in between, then you can search for 1791 leather holsters. How about that? You'll find it. I'm not endorsing them yet, but I expect I will. So just want to let you know. All right, with that said, we're going to go into the shocking interview today with We the Patriots USA, Brian Festa there, and our special guests, Amanda and Paul Guidry, I think is their last name, from Missouri. So check out this interview. It's heartbreaking, but there's something that you can do to help this family. I'm donating $1,000. I've made that pledge. And you can also help support them if you feel it's appropriate. With even a small donation can help. But check out this interview. It will blow your mind. Thanks for listening today. Here we go. Welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And today we're joined by parents whose children were medically kidnapped by the state of Missouri, or Child Protective Services organization in the state. The parents are named Amanda and Paul Guidry, and they're being represented by We the Patriots USA, which is headed by Brian Festa. He joins us in this interview, as well as the parents, Amanda and Paul, after the state kidnapped their autistic child and three other children because they dared to use low-dose chlorine dioxide as an alternative medical intervention, being safe and effective, that was helping their autistic child overcome symptoms of autism. On chlorine dioxide, this child was the best that he had ever been, according to the parents. You'll hear them say that in their own words. And yet the state came in and took them away, medically kidnapped them, terrorized the family, and then took the chlorine dioxide away from the children and put these children on toxic psychiatric drugs, which have horrific side effects. So the state is now engaged in the commission of medical violence against the children, the very children that they claim to be saving from parents who the state says might be harming the children by giving them alternative treatments that are actually safe and effective. These are crazy times. And we're going to have that full interview straight ahead right here on Brighteon.tv. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And as you know, I'm an advocate of health freedom. And today we're joined by some very special guests who have been victimized by health authorities in the state of Missouri. And the state of Missouri has allegedly engaged in what we might call medical kidnapping over the parents' use of very low-dose chlorine dioxide to aid in the health of their autistic child. And their names are Amanda and Paul Guidry. And joining us today with Amanda and Paul is also Brian Festa from WeThePatriotsUSA.org, which is helping them fight this battle against the state that is, again, allegedly engaged in medical kidnapping of their child because they use something that I know to be very safe and effective in my life, in my home, in my ranch, and that I take myself, by the way. So first, let's welcome Brian Festa to the show. Mr. Festa, it's an honor to have you back on. Thank you for all of your work in the realm of health freedom, and welcome to Brighteon.com.
Thanks for having me back, Mike.
It's fantastic to have you here. You're doing extraordinary work. Now, could you please introduce our guests, who Paul and Amanda, who will be joining us here in a second, but give us a quick overview of what this is all about.
Yeah, so Paul and Amanda are just amazing parents. I have I had the pleasure, the honor of connecting with them just about a month ago, a little over a month ago, when they reached out to us after very sadly, very tragically, their four minor children were taken from them, kidnapped, medically kidnapped.
Oh, it's four children. Them. Okay.
Yes, four children in total, including their youngest, a six-year-old boy on the autism spectrum, medically kidnapped by the state of Missouri. And it's just really a horrific case when you dig into exactly the reasoning that the children were taken away. And now what the state is doing to maintain custody illegally, I might add, in my opinion, in my professional opinion, illegally retain custody over these children. So I want to talk about that and just let your listeners know what they can do to help.
All right, fantastic. So let's bring in Paul and Amanda Guidry here, the parents. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on, and we appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
We're happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time. Could you tell us, just walk us through this in your own words of what you're facing here, what happened, and how the state apparently took away your four children?
Our son has autism, and it was to the point where we couldn't leave the house with him. It was really bad. And we found out about chlorine dioxide from your show with Carrie Rivera, and we decided to try it. Within the first week, we had amazing results. It was like, as time went on, he was a completely different child. And
I mean, can you be specific
about it?
When you say completely different child, can you tell us specifically what changes did you notice?
Sure. He was completely nonverbal before. As more and more time went on that he was taking the chlorine dioxide, he was talking more, singing. He went to school, which he never would have been able to do before. He was an amazing little boy. He was amazing before, but he was locked inside of himself, and he couldn't communicate what he wanted or anything.
He was violent for himself. He'd bang himself around, throw himself in the ground. It didn't matter if it was grass or pavement. Hitting other people, you know, hitting himself, hurting himself.
And that was all before the chlorine dioxide?
Yeah,
and then did that behavior go away then?
All of it.
Wow. And tell us, how much chlorine dioxide were you giving your child?
We were giving him 2 drops mixed with 8 ounces of water twice a day.
So was that 2 drops, typically these are offered in mixtures like bottle A and bottle B. Was it 2 drops from each bottle?
Yes. Two activated drops.
I see. Okay. So 2 drops and 8 ounces of water, that's a very, very low concentration. I've consumed repeatedly 10 times that concentration. Of course, you know, I'm a grown man, I have more body weight, but what you're describing seems to me like it's not an extremely high dose. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead with your story of what happened next.
His school found out that we were giving it to him, and they called the state saying that we were giving our kids bleach pills. And that was last September, and since then, we have been fighting with the state. They put us on a child abuse and neglect list. They've been to our house multiple times, and the last time they took all four of our youngest kids.
Oh my. Now, have you used chlorine dioxide with your other children as well?
We use it for everything. We use it when they get a sore throat or food poisoning, a cold. They take it for, we all take it for just about everything, and it works.
Yeah, I take it anytime I have any kind of a symptom of a sore throat or a cold, or especially if I go public speaking somewhere, I actually take it in advance because I know I'm going to be exposed to other people, and I'll take it. I also take ivermectin in advance. And isn't it interesting that we live in a time when, I mean, I just interviewed a guest last week who, Patty Myers is her name, a filmmaker. She says that her husband was murdered in the hospital because they denied him access to ivermectin. So here we have the authorities, in your case, the state of Missouri, in her case, hospital authorities, denying access to treatments that you as the parents are seeing are safe and effective, correct?
Correct.
And so where does this stand right now? And we'll bring Brian back in, but where does this stand right now?
Right now, they are trying to get the children placed back with us for if they will still be in state's custody, but they're trying to place them back in our home. We're waiting to see. And
until court in October.
Yeah.
And it'll be with stipulations.
Probably stipulations that you're not allowed to use whatever they say that they don't want you to use, which would probably include chlorine dioxide and maybe ivermectin. And who knows what else? They may ban you from giving your children vitamin C next. Who knows? Okay, well, you've been through a lot. It's clear. And the state of Missouri, you know, has done a lot of, there are elements of the state that have done a lot of good things in terms of fighting against censorship, for example. The Missouri Attorney General Schmidt, but then the other elements that you're dealing with can be very vindictive and even militant. They've taken your children, whereas there are other children who are probably doped up on antidepressants that they don't take from parents, right? Isn't that wild?
It's crazy.
Well, Brian Festa rejoining us. Brian, what's the legal strategy next for how these parents who clearly care about their children can get their children back?
Well, obviously the number one priority is getting these children safely back in the home with their loving parents. That's the best place for them. And that is our number one priority. We've been working, our attorneys in Missouri have been working very diligently to make that happen. Beyond that, though, there's also something that's a larger objective that's going to help parents and children all over Missouri and hopefully all over the country, and that is setting a precedent that the state is not allowed to come into a family's home and rip children away from their parents simply on the suspicion that they're doing something harmful without any evidence. Now, we're talking about in, you know, a supposedly red state, right? A conservative state like Missouri.
Right.
If this is happening there, imagine what's happening in New York and California. This is just insane. They were able to take, Mike, they were able to take these children away without any evidence that the children had actually suffered any real abuse or neglect. It's not like they had bruises or broken bones.
Good point.
We hear about cases like that all the time, and those are different circumstances. That's not what was happening here. One doctor that they had seen, a pediatrician, I believe, wrote a letter saying that she believed it could be harmful. And on the strength of that one letter by one rogue pediatrician, is what I'm going to call her, they were able to rip these children away out of the home. Now for how long, Amanda and Paul? I think it's been 6 weeks now. That these children have been removed.
45.
Yeah, this is absolutely. 45. Yeah, this is criminal, in my opinion. And the only one who is responsible for harming these children, in my opinion, is the state of Missouri.
Now, is the state, quote, authority, is it Child Protective Services? Is it county? Who is it exactly?
It's the, I forget exactly, is it the Department of Health and Welfare, or it's under the Department of Social Services, I believe. It's a division of the Department of Social Services in the state of Missouri, but it's the equivalent in Missouri of CPS. Yes.
Okay.
That is who has made the motion to have these children taken away. That motion was granted by a judge effective June 16th, I believe. The children were taken away, and again, without any evidence of abuse or neglect. So this should not stand. That's the larger thing. Even if these children are returned tomorrow, which would be marvelous, it's only temporary, number one, till October. And we still need to go into court with our medical experts, which we are lining up right now, and we are paying for them, by the way.
Yes.
It's going to be a very expensive battle to prove in court that they were not doing anything harmful and that the state should not have had the right to remove these children. And there need to be repercussions for the state. You know, legislators, we're going to have to talk about this. This is a separate conversation. You know, our organization doesn't get involved in political lobbying, because we're a 501c3, and you know how that works. However, as individual citizens, I think people are going to need to start getting involved and talking to the legislators about criminal penalties for state officials that go into homes without any evidence of abuse and neglect and take children away from their parents.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, isn't it amazing that the state can carry out these felony crimes and have apparently complete legal immunity? So let me offer a couple of fact-based statements here, because I'm sure that state of Missouri officials will be at some point watching this video. So number one, chlorine dioxide is not bleach. So when you go buy bleach at the store, you know, that's sodium hypochlorite typically, which is a completely different molecule. And I am a scientist that runs a laboratory, a multiple mass spec food laboratory. And there's a website you can use to look up molecules. It's called ChemSpider, C-H-E-M, like chemistry, chemspider.com. And if you go to chemspider.com and you look up the molecule for bleach, you'll find it's a completely different molecule than a chlorine dioxide, by the way. Different elements. I mean, it's obviously a different molecule. So those people who are out there, including this pediatrician, do not have the facts on their side. They are not just either ill-informed or lying, but in this case, and I think in a lot of cases, pediatricians are not your friend. Your pediatrician, for all you parents watching, your pediatrician is a spy for the state. Your pediatrician is the enemy of the health of your children. Pediatricians are pushing transgenderism onto children as secrets to keep from their parents. Pediatricians recommended children be vaccinated against COVID when there's virtually zero risk of children suffering any sort of infection from COVID, and there's zero evidence that COVID vaccines stop infections or transmission, especially in children. Your pediatrician is medically ignorant of what actually works and what is safe for children. Pediatricians don't even recommend vitamin D most of the time for children. So, number one, don't tell your pediatrician when you're using nutrition or alternative therapies, because your pediatrician is a spy, kind of like a medical KGB agent working for the state. Would you agree with that, Brian?
I would, in many cases. I'm going to put the caveat there that there are a few good ones still remaining, right?
Yes, agreed.
My good friend, Dr. Janet Levitin, there's doctors like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and other people that you know very well, Mike, that are speaking the truth. Dr. Paul Thomas is a pediatrician, and he's one of the great voices for medical freedom and actually reads the research and studies things. So yes, with exceptions, I will agree with that statement. And what you said is very key here. They're recommended things like the COVID shot for children, which we know has harmed children, young people, athletes, teenagers, adolescents. It's caused myocarditis. We know that for a fact. All right, that's been well documented. Even the CDC doesn't deny that. And yet, they're not being accused of any abuse
nope.
of children.
Nope. Even if the child is harmed by those vaccines or killed, the state doesn't come in and kidnap the other children, the surviving children that have been vaccinated, because the vaccines, even as they are harmful, are considered mainstream therapeutic interventions. Now, I want to mention this too, by the way, your website, wethepatriotsusa.org, you have a fundraiser for the Guidry family here. And where do people find that? What's it called? Medical kidnapping. I see.
Right. You'd go right to the homepage, wethepatriotsusa.org, scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see it right there as one of the first features on the homepage. You click on that fundraiser, and it will bring you directly to the page, the landing page for the fundraiser. You'll see that right there. Yep, you're bringing it up on the screen. As you can see, we've only raised about 5% of our $25,000 goal, which, by the way, is a modest goal. It's probably going to end up costing us more than that, but we always aim to at least just recoup some of the funds that we spend. We know it's very difficult for people to give and support, but if there's a cause you're going to give and support with regard to medical freedom and parental rights, I can't think of many better ones than the case of the Guidrys. This poor child, who, yes, his communication skills were greatly improving using CD, but guess what? He's still considered nonverbal, okay, under the diagnostic criteria. He can't express himself the way that most other children his age could. And this is very scary for him that he's been placed in four different foster homes now. This is horrible. We need to bring this child home, and we need to set a precedent in court that the state cannot do this, and that using alternative therapies, parents have the right to do that, all right? We're not talking about something that it has been proven to be harmful, or that a case where the child was sick. You know, usually these medical kidnapping cases that I've seen anyway, the child is brought into the hospital with some pretty severe symptoms, and then they find out the parents were using some alternative therapy, and then they take the child. Here, this is the first case I've ever seen where a child was completely healthy and taken from the home. He wasn't brought to a hospital. Taken directly out of their home. I've never seen a case like this. This is unprecedented.
Yeah, exactly. Again, no physical evidence of any harm or side effects. I mean, I've heard cases of vegan parents, for example, with children that are perhaps close to starvation, nutrient deficiency, lacking vitamin B12 or iron or what have you. And at least in that case, there is a physiological evidence that this child perhaps is malnourished, at least, you know, something there that you can see. But in this case, there's no evidence whatsoever of any harm. And given what Amanda just described there, the very low dose of chlorine dioxide that they were giving this child, I can't see any risk of harm. So look, I'm going to pledge right now in this interview a $1,000 donation to your legal fund from us at Brighteon.com and healthrangerstore.com. $1,000, I'll have our team make the donation later this evening. And I encourage all of you watching, go to wethepatriotsusa.org. And if you feel it in your heart to give a donation to this loving family to help with their legal bills, go ahead and make whatever donation you can, $5, $10, $50. Help them pay their legal bills so they can get their children back. Let's go back to Paul and Amanda here, by the way. Don't you feel so violated that they could come into your home and take your children from you when you've done nothing wrong? What does that feel like?
It's heartbreaking. Our kids are our world. This has been the hardest thing we've ever had to go through. And they even put our little boy in a mental institution for 3 weeks and tried putting him on other medications and
not approved for children with autism.
It's
wow.
Heartbreaking. He keeps asking, "Mama, Jackson, go home," when I saw him the last time. And what do you tell a little boy that? Like, it's hard.
What does it feel to you, Paul?
It's rough. It's very rough. You know, they took him. I just got home from work. I work on the road, you know, so I was gone for a little while. I just got home. The next morning after I got home, I came back from the doctor, and they showed up, and they took him. There was absolutely no evidence whatsoever. You know, I think it was like 2 days before Father's Day. And we have visitations, you know, with our kids once a week. I was supposed to, but now my schedule doesn't allow for it. So I haven't seen any of them in, I think, two or three weeks. I haven't seen Jackson in person in over a month. They cancel our visits. They they started allowing phone calls and then canceled phone calls. You can't have any contact with them. You know, and, you know, something interesting, Mike, this isn't the first time, because my wife mentioned that this started in September, you know, for the exact same thing. And the state tried, they tried to take them. They went to a judge, to a court, and the judge denied them for this exact same thing, saying there was no evidence of harm to the children. And then somebody called them again for the exact same thing, and they came again and just decided, like you say, without any evidence that they're in danger, they have to leave now.
So do you feel like you're being targeted? Paperwork. Like this agency has it out for you or something?
It does kind of feel like that.
Yeah, it really does. With everything that they've done and continue to do, and just going behind our back for everything. And like I said, they allowed us to have, when they put our son in that mental hospital, they allowed us to have calls with him. You know, so we were calling almost every day for about like 3 or 4 days, maybe a week at the most. And then all of a sudden, the state said that we can't call no more. They called the hospital and said not to allow any more calls. Like, for no reason whatsoever.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to shine the light on this. And for those of you watching from the state of Missouri, I've got an editorial team. I'm going to give them an assignment to dig into this. And Brian Festa, I want the names of the people in these agencies who are involved in this. And we're going to start doing an investigation. And I almost even hate to bring this up, but I think it needs to be asked. Amanda and Paul, is there any possible overtone of racial targeting that you feel might be at play here, or is that not in the picture?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
It's more of us going against the state's wishes about what we can medically give our children.
Okay. All right. Well, this is very disheartening. And again, we're going to investigate. And Brian, back to you. What's the possible outcome here? I mean, you said you wanted to set a precedent so that these agencies can't just go in and kidnap children at the drop of a hat because one doctor has one opinion. I mean, what if they give their children chlorella or spirulina or astaxanthin, superfoods, and one doctor says, well, I don't think astaxanthin is safe for some reason. Well, then the state could just jump in and kidnap children over nutrition that the doctor doesn't recognize because they're nutritionally illiterate, by the way.
Exactly. We're now based out of Idaho, and we saw, you'll recall the case in Idaho not that long ago of baby Cyrus that was taken away from his mother simply because the state deemed the child malnourished. In their opinion, he wasn't getting enough nutrition or that he was underweight, okay, which was complete garbage. And the state was actually able to rip this child away. And I saw the video, I don't know if you saw it, but in the back of the ambulance, took the child away from the mother who was crying. Just a horrible, horrible case. And if it can happen in states like Idaho and Missouri, again, imagine what's happening other places that supposedly are not as protective of parental rights as states like Idaho and Missouri. And that's why this case is so important. We would expect this. I mean, not that it's right, but you would expect it in a state like New York or California. When you hear about Missouri and Idaho, that should be raising alarm bells, folks, because that's telling you that no matter where you are in the country, whether it's Texas or Utah or Alabama or Florida, this is happening. CPS is taking kids away without justification. I'm not saying in all cases, there are cases with justification, but there are many cases like this where bad things are happening. And you know as well as I do, Mike, what happens in foster care. You probably have seen the movie The Sound of Freedom, okay? And I wasn't going to go there in today's interview, but I'm just going to drop that little hint right there for people to go and investigate what happens with regard to child trafficking in these networks. Even when children are in state custody, it does happen. Don't tell me it's not true, because I will show you the evidence. And I'm not saying, you know, God forbid that's happening to the Guidry's children here, but because there's that risk, and because there is harm anytime a child is taken away from their parents. We need to stop this in the court. So we're going to continue this battle. Even if they give the children back tomorrow, we're not dropping this lawsuit.
Yes.
And we need to continue to fight this and prove that they were wrong. And I want a judge, this is what we're seeking, a judge to say, this was wrong, this should not have happened, and this can never happen again.
Well, in addition to that, and I hope that's the outcome, but in addition, haven't the civil rights of the Guidry family been violated here? Don't they have a civil rights lawsuit against the government for kidnapping their children? Again, if a private citizen went into their home and kidnapped their children, even with the same excuse, like, I don't like what you're giving your children, and therefore I'm going to take them, that person could be charged with multiple felony crimes. What gives the government the right to engage in behaviors that, if carried out by a private individual, would be felony crimes deserving decades in prison?
Well, quite right. And when you're talking about due process violations, right? When we talk about life, liberty, or property, the government has no right to deprive anyone of those without due process of law. But
exactly.
suddenly in family court, it seems that all goes up out the window. We don't need to follow those rules in family court. No, the Constitution does not say that family court has a special exception. There's no asterisk, all right, in any of the Bill of Rights saying doesn't apply in family court. So what we need to do, I mean, these children were deprived of their liberty, all right? These children are under the primary custody. I'm not going to refer to them as property, okay? But they are primarily under the custody of their children. They belong to their children. There's case law going back to the 19th century talking about parents being the primary educators and caretakers of their children, more so than the state, and they have that primary responsibility. So this was taken away from them. A legal right was deprived. The Guidrys have been deprived of a legal right without due process of law. So yes, I do believe this is a constitutional violation. As far as a civil rights violation, it would have to be on the basis of any protected class specified in, for instance, the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So you talked about race, if there was evidence of that, or their religious belief, if they were doing this on the basis of their religious belief. Any of those factors would play into a civil rights lawsuit. But I definitely see constitutional violations here.
Yeah, clearly that's the case. And again, think about where the authorities can take this. They can declare any substance to be something that they don't like. Essentially, the state said, we don't like the molecule that you're giving your child. And then they took the child and then gave that child toxic molecules in the form of apparently psychiatric medications. That's what the parents were just explaining. So they're using different drugs on this child. Well, so the state is carrying out the act of chemical violence that they accuse the parents of carrying out. I mean, they're projecting onto the parents what they themselves are doing. And we know that these psychiatric drugs are very dangerous when used over the long term, which reiterates the urgency of getting these children back into the custody of their rightful parents so that these kids, or this child in particular, but the other children as well, can be taken off of these dangerous psychiatric medications and put on healthy diets, good nutrition, and safe, effective therapies.
And that happened in this case. You can ask Amanda and Paul to explain it, but soon after the children were taken out of the home, they were having a lot of behavioral challenges with their youngest son on the spectrum. Surprise, surprise, he's taken off chlorine dioxide, he's taken away from his parents, and he's having behavioral problems. Never would have expected that one, right, Mike? And so what does the state do? They want to put him on, I believe it was clonidine was one of them, and some other drugs that have a long list of adverse side effects. I mean, anytime you watch, I mean, listen, we don't have to be a doctor or a scientist. I'm not a doctor or scientist. I'm not giving medical advice here. I'm not even a health ranger, okay? I'm none of those things. I'm just a lawyer. However, I've seen all of the ads for these drugs on TV in the past, and every single time you see a new drug that comes out, how many side effects do they mention? And it's like they try to see how many they can fit within 10 seconds. Heart attack, stroke, cancer, you know, all of these things.
And suicidal ideation.
Yep, that's one too. And that's okay. It's all right for the state to use that on the child because it's FDA approved.
Right.
But if we use another therapy that's not FDA approved for this use, but yet has no evidence of any of those side effects, that's suddenly abuse. Come on.
So back to Amanda and Paul. Now, you say you learned about chlorine dioxide from an interview I did with Carrie Rivera, I believe. And I'd like to ask you, in what other ways are you using chlorine dioxide. You said before you had chickens, I believe.
We have a small farm, and we use it when our chickens get hurt. We put it in their water because it kills worms and bacteria. When any of our animals get cuts or scrapes or hurt, when our kids get cuts or scrapes, there's a long list of things that we use it for.
So you use it topically in addition? I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
There's a long list of different protocols or treatment regimens that you do for different ailments. And like I've used it myself for food poisoning, and it worked tremendously.
Yes.
Within an hour, I was good. You know, and we sore throats, cough, cold, irritated stomachs, rashes, bites. You know, I use it at work for my guys at work, and we work out and outside all the time. So there's constant bug bites and bees and wasps and everything else. It works for pretty much all of it, any infection.
Well, your video feed's cutting out there a little bit, but we get what you're saying. I use it for 100 things on my ranch as well. I put it in the water for my chickens and my dogs and my goats. I use it in the water containers. It stops the growth of algae, and algae can produce, you know, toxic byproducts. And so I guess we just lost the feed there, but get that back, guys, and I'll continue. I use chlorine dioxide. I put a tablet of it in my dishwasher anytime I'm doing dishes in order to sanitize the dishes. I've used it in my laundry. I use it myself orally. Now look, don't take anything that's said here as medical advice. I'm not your doctor. You need to do your own research and make your own decisions about what's appropriate for you. And of course, we don't sell chlorine dioxide because everybody who sells it seems to end up in prison because of the FDA and the FTC and so on. But chlorine dioxide is known as the universal antidote. In fact, let me just give out that website that has a lot of research. It's called theuniversalantidote.com. And that website has a downloadable book. It's got videos. And again, I'm not even sure who's behind this website, but I found it to have a lot of resources about chlorine dioxide. The Ultimate Guide to Chlorine Dioxide, Beginner's Training Course. I guess lots of things here. I've learned a lot from this website. And by the way, I've published stories on naturalnews.com about chlorine dioxide being clinically proven in published peer-reviewed science papers to kill superbugs such as MRSA and also to destroy COVID. And chlorine dioxide is used all over the world during COVID to spray surfaces and sanitize, you know, city buses and things like that. So, Brian, there's no question that chlorine dioxide has a multitude of uses. It's just that it seems like the medical profession is completely ignorant of this.
It's willful ignorance, Mike, as you know. Just as with everything else, they know. The research is there, all right? The studies are there. They know that it's helpful. They know that it's far less dangerous than many other treatments and drugs that they routinely recommend for babies, for children, for adults, for everyone. And yet, again, because it's not part of their agenda, it's banned. Why? Because they can't make any money off of it, Mike. You can administer CD in your home. That's the thing. You can do it yourself. You don't even need a doctor. You don't need a prescription. Again, I am not giving medical advice. I'm not a doctor. I'm not recommending it. This case isn't about chlorine dioxide. That's not really what this case is about. This litigation is about parental rights, parental freedom, medical freedom, and not having the state not giving the state the authority to take children out of a home, to take custody of children without due process of law and without any evidence of abuse or neglect. They can't even meet their burden of showing that these children were under any imminent threat of harm, which is the other standard. It's not, so just to be clear, it's not only if the children have visible scars and bruises on them, but it's also if they're under imminent threat, imminent danger of harm. But there was no evidence they were, because they had been using this treatment for a long time with no harm.
Right, right. And let me point out something, just to continue your line of thought there, Brian. If this one child in particular had lost a significant portion of body mass and muscle mass, and hair was falling out, and cognition was deteriorating, then I could understand intervention. But those are the kinds of things that happen when you put your child on chemotherapy, which is approved by the medical system. So chemotherapy is chemical violence. It's a form of chemical warfare against children. Now, think about it. If Child Protective Services shows up at a house and they see a child with all those symptoms I just described, oh, the hair is falling out, they're wasting away, they look like they're dying. And if the parents said, oh, don't worry, that child's on chemo, then CPS would be, oh, that's perfectly okay then, we'll move on. But if they see a healthy child and the parent says, oh, we're using alternative nutrition and alternative molecules, then suddenly it's a crime, even when the child is healthier than he's ever been. Isn't that amazing?
Talk about clown world, right?
Yeah.
It's what we saw the last 3 years. It's what we're continuing to see. But see, ladies and gentlemen, this is not restricted to just COVID. And I said this, and I know you said it too, Mike, time and time and time again, this isn't just about COVID, because if they could get away with it with COVID, they'll start applying it to every other kind of therapy and treatment. So it's not just going to be hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Right now it's going to be chlorine dioxide. Now it's going to be supplements that you mentioned, all kinds of alternative therapy, HBOT therapy, maybe, which, you know, we've even used for my son, who's on the spectrum and vaccine injured. So we can go on and on and on and on. But now parents are going to be targeted for all of these things. This is why it's so important to continue this kind of litigation, but also the COVID litigation. We still have several lawsuits that are still in federal courts. They're now mostly at the circuit court level. So they're one step away from the Supreme Court from the COVID era. And some people come to us and say, why are you guys still fighting that? COVID's over. That was a long time ago. Let's just forget about it. No, we can't forget about it. We need to set the precedent, because trust me, it's right around the corner. They're going to do something like, actually much worse. You know what I'm talking about. Much worse than COVID is coming.
Yeah, probably so. And they need to set the precedent of government ownership over children. Now, this kind of assertion of government ownership of children, the exclusion of parental rights, is something that we might expect in states like California, which, even by the way, they use the school system in, even in Washington state, for example, in the school system, a child can undergo genitalia mutilation surgeries without the parents being notified, because the school indoctrinates a child into transgenderism, and then the school system itself, one system in Seattle, offers the mutilation surgeries, and then the parent later finds out, oh my gosh, not only did the state and the school system brainwash my child, they mutilated my child. And this kind of thing is, as grotesque and horrifying as it is, it's kind of expected in Washington state and California and, you know, left-wing states. But to see even some small part of this happening in Missouri is very, very disturbing. So Brian, let me just give out your website one more time. WeThePatriotsUSA.org is the website. And there you can find, if you scroll down, you can find the medical kidnapping fundraiser to help this family that is dealing with this horror. But Brian, what else can people do out there to spread the word on this?
Well, definitely share the fundraiser so people are aware of the story, even if they can't donate, because I realize, you know, not everybody has the means, even maybe to give $10, $20, but share the story. You said you're going to do an investigation and hopefully publish the findings on your website. That would be amazing, because that would go a long way to reaching a much larger audience, because we're all dealing with censorship. Obviously, you're the king of not of censorship, but of being censored, I should say.
Yes.
You've dealt with it for many years. We've dealt with it at We the Patriots USA. We've been kicked off YouTube and all the major platforms. I can't even use PayPal or Venmo as a private citizen anymore, never mind as We the Patriots USA, because of the kind of cases that we take. But you mentioned the genital mutilation cases. I want to mention to anyone who's listening in California that has a case like that, we're very interested in taking those cases as well. Those are parental rights cases. Parents have a right to exercise their religious objection. The government does not have the right to provide aid to children in doing this or to shield them. That's a constitutional First Amendment violation. And so I really want to just let everybody know, if there's anyone in California or Washington State or anywhere where that kind of those kinds of atrocities are happening, and you feel you have a case, please contact us by emailing info@wethepatriotsusa.org. And if you have a case like this where your children have been taken away or even being threatened to be taken away, please contact us at info@wethepatriotsusa.org. We want to file a lot more of these lawsuits. This, we, you know, one is great. If we win it, this will be an amazing victory. And I think that there's a very good chance we are going to win this, but we need to start filing these cases all over the country so that they know if they're thinking of doing this. I want every state official in the back of their minds, if they're going to come after a family just for using alternative medical treatments, I want them to think of We the Patriots USA. I want to have that in the back of their mind. This is going to end up on Mike Adams. This is going to end up on The Blaze, where my good friends Steve Dace and Daniel Horowitz work. You know, and we were just on his show about a week ago, too, Daniel's show. So this is going to end up on national media outlets, probably mostly conservative ones, but nevertheless, it's going to get national media attention, and it's not going to end well in the courts because we have not only the law on our side, but we have God on our side.
Well, this is absolutely true. And I would just add that I want these agencies around the country to realize that they are wrong, that in fact, it was the so-called banned treatments like ivermectin that saved lives. I use ivermectin. My family members that are still living used ivermectin, but I've lost family and friends who swore off ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or vitamin D or zinc, and they got jabbed, and some of them are dead, okay? And the numbers are coming out. Ed Dowd, Steve Kirsch, Dr. Robert Malone, publishing the numbers, highly qualified experts who are talking about what has happened. And there are probably, according to Ed Dowd, at least 5 million Americans who have been disabled or severely injured by treatments that were recommended by the establishment. And who knows how many people have been murdered in the hospitals. And I use that word deliberately, murdered, because of protocols that withheld treatments from them that could have saved lives. Those treatments, including ivermectin. And I've interviewed other attorneys who are involved in lawsuits against hospitals representing plaintiffs who lost family members because of this. Now, Amanda and Paul, I believe, are back with us online here now. I'd like to go to them as we kind of wrap up this interview, but are you there? Yeah. Okay. So Paul and Amanda, I want to ask you, how do you plan to move forward after the conclusion of this case? What would you do once you get your children back? What do you plan to do to protect them from this kind of thing in the future?
Save ourselves.
Yeah.
We mentioned it to another family that has some with the same kind of symptoms. You know, told them to do their own research like we did, and
that's how it all started.
Oh. Yeah. So our main goal is to keep to ourselves. You know, everything was working just fine. We tried to help. It didn't work out for us. You know. I think that would be our best bet moving forward.
So you just want to be left alone by the, you know, from the state is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And then to work on protecting your health and your children's health and do what every good parent wants to do, help your child grow up with the best opportunities that they can achieve, right?
Well, when it comes to our kids, yes, but also I would like to help Brian fight this to make sure that it doesn't happen to anybody else. This has been the long-term effects that our children are going to have, that our family's going to have. Nobody should have to go through. No family should ever have to go through this.
Yes.
And I want to help make sure that nobody else does.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad that you two have the courage and fortitude to stand up, to go public with this, to take this fight back to the tyrants. I would call them, frankly, medical terrorists. They terrorize your family. They, you know, they entered your home, they took your children. In my view, those are acts of terrorism. Now, but I just want to thank you, Paul and Amanda, for taking the time to join us today. And I know it takes a lot of courage, and you may be targeted because of your speaking out, but rest assured, you've got the alt media on your side at this point. We're here for you.
Thank you very much, Mike.
It was nice to meet you both, and God bless you both. And this story is not yet over. So Thank you for joining me today. And back to Brian Festa. Brian, I want to thank you also for your time and effort in this. I know that you are often working with, you know, very, very little in the case of a financial reward of any kind. Do we have Brian still with us?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Brian, what are your final thoughts here today as we wrap up this interview?
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. You're absolutely right. We usually work at a deficit. Pretty much almost every case that we've ever filed, we don't make the money back. We take a loss on it, but this isn't about financial gain. The only reason that's important to us, getting the money back, that is so that we can help more people. Because obviously, if you keep operating at a loss on everything, eventually the money runs out, right? That's simple business. So we do need to make as much back as possible so that we can help more people, not only Amanda and Paul, but there's a lot more families. I've got a line, you know, down the street and around the corner of plaintiffs in many different arenas, not only in the medical kidnapping space, but in many different arenas who need help, whether it's free speech, Second Amendment cases. We have cases like that. We've got a case in East Palestine, Ohio, over the train derailment and the lies the EPA told that community. We're trying to help them. Oh, yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the cases that we file across the country. So we desperately need funds. And if there's someone out there that wants to talk about, you know, obviously getting behind us and helping us in a bigger way or partnering with us, investing, we're more than happy to have those conversations, obviously, as well. But really, more realistically, it's going to take thousands of small donations, of people committing to maybe $5, $10, $15 a month. And if we get thousands of people doing that, that will be enough to keep us funded. And don't worry about the fact that they have billionaires like George Soros and Bill Gates on their side. Yes, they do. You're right, they do. But it doesn't take billions to win in court. We can level the playing field with a lot less than billions.
Yeah, well said. And I also want to add about East Palestine and that whole situation. We are still on track to being able to conduct dioxin testing in our laboratory. We had some delays. We'd actually purchased a dioxin interface for our triple quad mass spec, and that interface turned out to be the wrong piece of equipment, and we ended up purchasing a separate triple quad mass spec with its own interface, and that's on the way now. We should be up and running most definitely this year, so let's coordinate testing of some samples. We'll be able to quantitate dioxins at, frankly, femtograms per milliliter, which is a very tiny amount without getting too nerdy.
No, thank you. Please, you have my personal cell, all right? So please contact me.
Yeah.
And let's connect on that, because we need all of the expert evidence in that case that we can get. We do have experts that have been collecting samples and been sending them to labs, but you know, your name has come up more than once in our discussions, because we know you have your labs.
Yep.
And so we would definitely like to work together on that case, because we're the only ones in the country, Mike, we the Patriots USA, that has filed a lawsuit against the EPA and the state of Ohio, Governor DeWine, over their malfeasance with regard to that train derailment. Massive Nobody else up. Has.
Yeah.
Massive cover up. We are holding the government accountable. So you go to wethepatriotsusa.org. We actually have a fundraiser for that lawsuit as well, because that's extraordinarily expensive. But we're going to keep on going. God will provide. We're going to keep on going. All right. Somewhere, somehow, we're going to get the funding for all these cases. But we so appreciate you giving us a platform and allowing us to speak about what's happening with the Guidry's today, because I just feel, as a parent of a vaccine injured child on the spectrum myself, my heart goes out to them, because I know what they're talking about with the behaviors, with the communication challenges. I've gone through all of that with my son. And I, Amanda, Paul, just God bless you for standing up and doing the right thing.
Yes, I second that. God bless you all. And you too, Brian, for joining us today and taking on this fight. And we're going to wrap this up now, but I just want to thank everybody for watching. Again, the website is wethepatriotsusa.org. And of course, if you want to stay up to date on this issue, you can watch more videos here at brighteon.com, the platform that I founded so that we can exercise free speech. And my publishing website is naturalnews.com, where we'll have editorial coverage of this and also the dioxin issue in the months ahead. Of course, we are censored on all the main platforms, but hey, everybody who knows anything is already using alternative platforms anyway, and we're well represented there. So share this video. You can repost it on Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey, or repost it on Brighteon.com if you wish, and spread the word and help bring support to the Guidry family, who has been, in my opinion, a victim of medical terrorism carried out by the state of Missouri against an innocent family that simply used a safe, effective, but alternative therapies to help their autistic child recover some semblance of normalcy in a very scary world. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by healthrangerstore.com, where we sell lab-tested, certified organic superfoods and high-end nutritional supplements. And everything we sell is lab-tested for glyphosate and heavy metals, as well as microbiology, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, and total plate count. We also test for aflatoxins on some of our products. In addition, we're rolling out atrazine testing across many products that we carry, such as cashews, and we're going to be adding dioxin testing later this year as that capability is added to our laboratory. Now, some of the products that you may want to consider, I've got on my desk right here. Freeze-dried blueberries and mangoes are just two of the many fruits that we have in number 10 cans. They're freeze-dried, again, certified organic and laboratory tested. We've got goji berries and superfruit sea powder, which is delicious to put into any smoothie or drink. You can blend it with bananas or frozen strawberries. It's absolutely delicious. Macadamia nuts, just amazing. Also, of course, lab tested. Watch out for glyphosate on nut crops, by the way, because that can be used by some farmers. Whey protein there, again, laboratory tested, ultra clean, high nutrient density, no toxic fillers or garbage ingredients in any of the products that we sell. Check all of this out at healthrangerstore.com. Do yourself some good. And you can also use this as storable food for emergencies because, of course, in the number 10 cans, it's packaged for long-term shelf viability. And these are rodent-proof cans. They're sealed. And you open them with a regular can opener, and then you can enjoy these, frankly, for many years after you've purchased them. Freeze-dried foods available right now at healthrangerstore.com. And we thank you for your support because every purchase at our store supports this network and our message of health freedom and free speech for Americans and, frankly, all of humanity. Thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com and the founder of healthrangerstore.com. God bless you. Take care.